part of my job in putting together the graduation video every year is to make sure that the moms cry. Where's Lori? Oh, mission accomplished. Okay. One, two, three. All right, good. And that's, it is an interesting thing, the transitions that we go through, isn't it? The way that, that life just continues to go on and life just continues to happen and one day turns into the next, and the next thing you know that, they're graduating from college and we're, you know, those of us who were once young are not as young and it's just, it's amazing how life happens that way. And God is good, as Dick reminds us all the time, God is good because all the time, regardless of how quickly the time passes, if we stop to remember, we stop to look back, we see how good God is. Now, one of the things that as I was putting that together and then watching it, Garrett's holding up that big catfish at the Fuels Pond, and that's catfish isn't there anymore because of the snapping turtle. But now the snapping turtle's not there anymore, thanks to Mark. And so now we'll have more pictures of kids holding catfish in graduation videos to come. But you know, it's just, you know, you see yourself in those pictures and just the way that that we're all intertwined. And you know, God wants to use you. You know, He wants to use each one of us, you know, not only in the lives as time marches on, as time goes, moves. You know, He wants to use us in the lives of those kids that are growing up and the graduates that are to come. And He wants us to be part of these slideshows every year as we mentor and as we study with and pray over and affect the lives of generations. He wants to use us not only in that way, but in other ways every single day. But I don't know about you guys, but when I think about shaping the lives of generations to come, that's a little scary. It's a little nerve-wracking at times. It's a weighty proposition to think that, you know, I might influence someone or some other generation. I might influence someone to make decisions that will impact their life. That's pretty daunting. And yet we all do that, or we need to. But it is pretty daunting, and sometimes we shrink away from those opportunities. Sometimes we shrink back. We don't want to mess anything up, and we don't really believe that we're going to do a good job, so we'll shrink away from the times that God wants to use us. And this morning, I want to give us a little insight on gaining confidence when it comes to tackling the challenges that God puts before us, whether that's encouraging or influencing a child's life, or whether that's impacting a community for the gospel of Christ. The one thing that we all have to have, if in fact we are going to be used by God, is we have to have confidence to do what God's called us to do. Because there's only, in that statement, God wants to use you, there's only one unknown regarding this right here, is will we be used? Will we accept the challenge? Will we do what God's called us to do? Because the known in this equation is the fact that if you are breathing, God wants to use you. He wants you. He wants to know you. He wants you to be known by Him. And He wants to put your feet on a path of life that is going to be impacting His kingdom. God wants to use you. The only unknown is whether or not you will be used. And it takes confidence. We've read in Judges this morning about God saying, I've commanded you to not be afraid. I've commanded you to be courageous. I've asked you to do some pretty big things. Yes, but I'm commanding you to be courageous. He knows that He can tell us what to do all day. He can say, go here and conquer this. Go there and do this for that person. Go and be a part of My kingdom over here. But if we don't have the courage to follow through, He knows that we're not going to. So we've read about what it means, what it looks like to hear God's call. And he says, look, I want you to be courageous. I know that you're going to want to shrink from the task, but be courageous. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 10, he says of this very same thing. He says, look, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. If God didn't think that we could, he wouldn't give it to us to do. If God didn't know for a fact that he would be there empowering us to accomplish whatever it is he has set out for us to do, he wouldn't ask us to do it. He says, look, I've made you to do this. I've made you for this purpose. And I've laid out some good things in advance for you to do. Now be courageous and do them. So this morning, one of the things that we're going to look at is, how do I gain confidence? How do I gain this confidence that I need? What can I do in order to be confident to approach the challenges that God has given me? How do I do? The first thing we need to do is to let go of the doubt. It is the very first step in being used by God in whatever he's calling us to do is let go of doubt. But what causes this? What causes us to doubt? Because one of the things that we've got to do is if we're going to let go of something, if we're going to avoid something, we've got to be prepared to do whatever it takes in order to not encounter that. So the first thing, you know, what causes us to doubt? One of the things that we do when we do a great job of, and one of the things that causes us to shrink from challenges and from tasks is because I'm not as good as someone else. There's other people that are much better at this. You know, someone else is going to come along and going to accomplish this because, you know, I look and I see and people are doing such greater things than me. And God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, don't compare yourself to anyone. Paul says, I don't compare myself to anybody. It's foolishness to compare ourselves to other people. This is the first thing you got to do. If you want to shed the doubt that cripples God's people, don't compare yourself to other people. Don't compare your accomplishments to their accomplishments. Don't compare your failures to their failures, which brings us to the next thing. It is, you know, stop comparing ourselves to others and stop dwelling on past failures. If we're ever going to have any confidence to do anything that God calls us to do in his kingdom, there's no possible way to dwell on past failures. In Philippians chapter 3 and 13, Paul says, look, I'm not there yet. I have not arrived spiritually, but one thing I do know is that I forget what's gone on before me, and I always strive to what's ahead. You know, because my inability to do what God called me to do before, if I remember that and I think about all of the things that kept me from accomplishing God's mission, if I dwell on those failures, I'm never going to have the confidence to move forward in an adventure, in a kingdom life that he's calling me to live. So let go of doubt. You know, don't doubt God. Don't doubt yourself. Have confidence and avoid what causes those doubts. You know, we move on. How else do we gain confidence? Not only do we let go of doubt, but look for a promise from God. One of the things that as we go through the story that is being told through God's people from the beginning of time, from the beginning of the Bible till now, is that it constantly, those who are accomplishing in the kingdom are always remembering the promise. I mean, remember on Wednesday night, the guys, we've been talking about the life of David, and David continually remembers the promise. Continually remembers the promise. Facing Goliath, he says, who is this uncircumcised person that would defy the armies of God, that would speak against our God? Who is this uncircumcised person? And for many, that's just a physical characteristic he's referring to, but to those who know, it's a promise. It's a promise where God has said, look, I'm going to be your God. And you're going to be my people. And I'm going to be right there with you. And I'm going to give you some land. And I'm going to give you an inheritance. I'm going to give you all of these things. All you have to do is trust me. I promise. It says, look for a promise from God. There's three things in our scripture this morning in Joshua chapter 1. Three things that God promises us, and he promises these to those who serve him, not just the Hebrews of Joshua's day, but he promises us these three things. First thing he promises us is strength. Look at verse 5 in Joshua chapter 1. Judges. I knew that didn't sound right. Joshua, Judges. One more verse or one more book. In Judges chapter 1, look at verse 5. He says, verse 4, when Judah attacked, the Lord gave the Canaanites, the Perizzites, into their hands, and they struck down 10,000 men at Bezek. It was there that they found Abinadi of Bezek and fought against him, putting the rout to the Canaanites. He says, look, I'm going to do these things. I'm going to give you the strength to drive these people out. I'm going to strengthen you to fight whatever battle I'm calling you to fight. Look at verse 7. He says, I'm going to give you success. He says, look, 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes cut off have picked up scraps under my table. Now God has paid me back for what I did. He says, look, I'm going to deliver my people. I'm going to give you success. I mean, there's some gruesome imagery in what he's saying. He's like, look, people, I'm going to deliver you from the people who are against you. I'm going to give you success. He says, I'm going to give you support. In verse 9, he says, look, I'm always going to be there with you. I'm always going to be there to support you. One of the things that God has promised us in the kingdom today, he says, go and make disciples, doesn't he? He says, go into the world. Fight the gates of hell. He says, look, storm the gates that are outside of the kingdom of heaven. Go and make disciples, and I will be with you. I will be there with you. Whatever it is he's calling us to do, he says, look, do not keep the children from me. He says, bring them to me. I will teach them. He says, if you want to affect a generation, trust that God will give you strength, that he will give you success, that he will give you support in that very mission. He says, look, I promise you this is going to happen. Great, mighty warriors of God throughout generations understood the promise. How else do we gain confidence? Not only looking for a promise, letting go of doubt, but leaning on the Lord. I mean, it's one thing to believe a promise. It's one thing to try and put our minds right so that we're not doubting that it's possible. But then there comes a time when God says, look, in Proverbs 3 and 5, trust in God. Don't trust your own understanding, because there's a point where we come in our ministry, where we come in kingdom work, and it just doesn't make any sense. You know, the odds are stacked against us, and, you know, people just don't want to hear this, and I can't overcome all of these challenges. From my perspective, God, it doesn't look like it's even possible. So don't trust your own understanding. Lean on God. Lean on the Lord. Actually trust him. Don't just believe it, but trust. Put yourself in that situation. It's the best thing I've come up with, and I thought about this week. What's an illustration that would drive home the concept of leaning? What's the whole point of lean? You know, why make this a point? I don't know. Why make this this sermon could have easily been 3 points, and I could leave this one out. Many of you are saying, why didn't you do that? I mean, it's one thing I believe that column there is sturdy. I mean, look at what all it's holding up. And, you know, I know that it's there. I don't doubt for one second that it's sturdy and that it's strong and that it's solid and that it's able to withstand a lot of pressure. But whenever I do this, now I'm doing something. I mean, something as simple as just lean on it. I mean, if this weren't here, and I'm, you know, let me tell you, all my weight, well, 80-something percent of my weight's going that way, leaned up against it. Earl could tell you the formula for how much of me is pushing on this right now. If this weren't here, I would fall, wouldn't I? I would fall. See, there's a difference between believing and knowing and leaning. You know, I'm in contact with it now. John 14:4, Jesus says, you trust in God, trust also in me. Trust in me. Depend on me. Lean on me. What Jesus is saying is, look, I've secured your relationship with God. That means you don't have to. You are free to lean. You're free to lean. So often, God's people, we stand straight up on our own two feet, not willing to put what we believe, what we know, what we've heard, what we see into practice and just let our center of gravity rest on God. Jesus says, look, you know, because what if I fall? What if I mess up the leaning part? What if I fall? What if I mess it up? What if I, you know, what if I don't do kingdom work perfectly? You know, what if God decides to throw me out of the kingdom? Jesus says, trust me, I'm not going to do that to you. I'm your friend. You are my brother. You are my sister. We're not going to do that to you. This is never going to move. It's not like the trust game where you fall and you go, well, maybe they're back there, maybe they're not. God's never going to move. He says, so lean. Lean on Him. Life is so much better when our trust gets into action. And the last thing that we do, it has a lot to do with leaning, but it's just that launch out in faith. Just make that step in faith. Do you hear what he says in Joshua? In the very beginning, at the end of his, at the end of what he says, we didn't read this part, but in verse 10, he says, look, Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. I love that. He says, pack your bags. I mean, it's one thing. It's one thing to talk about, man, God's going to do good things. God is good all the time because all the time God is good. It's one thing to say, look, God is doing, you know, marvelous things. God is strong. Our God is an awesome God. God will deliver His people. God will do, but it's a whole other thing to say, pack your bags. Because you can, we've all planned trips. We've all planned trips. I know Wes goes through this. I've gone through it when I was planning. You know, Winterfest is one of those big trips that, you know, you think this is, or Trek, there's a good one. Highland Trek, we take, you know, seems like 50 kids backpacking. It's only like 12, but it seems like 100. And we plan that trip. I mean, we get out maps, go shopping. And when I say we, I mean Wes. Does all this preparation. We think about this trip and we think about it and we think about it and we think about it. And the whole time when we're thinking about it and planning on it and all of this, you know, it's real. But then there comes that day. There comes that day when we all meet up here in the fellowship hall. And there's all these backpacks lined up on the wall. And we're packing backpacks. And when I say we, I mean Wes. And we're packing backpacks. And you know what that, hey, this is going to happen. I mean, it's one thing to talk about it. But it's a whole other thing to say, get your gear, because we're going. Al's smiling right now. He's thinking no doubt about times when in the military. I mean, we can train and we can train and we can train. But there's a, when you're loading up that helicopter, this is going to happen. Get your, he says, ready your stuff. Get your stuff ready because we're leaving. Joshua says, look, there's a time when we got to launch out. We've got to get things together and move on out, because this is going to happen. And in Ecclesiastes 11, we'll move on to Ecclesiastes 11 and 4, it says, God says, look, if you're waiting for conditions to be perfect, you'll never get anything done. You'll never accomplish anything. If we wait for the weather to be exactly what we want it to be, we would never take any kids backpacking, ever. But we've learned some incredible lessons. We've found some incredible strength backpacking in the rain. If we're waiting for our conditions to be right, if we're waiting for all of the planets to align, if we're waiting for everything to be as it should, the Bible says we'll never accomplish anything. At some point, we got to stop worrying about our own understanding. We have to lean on God and launch out and go, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what it looks like or feels like. There is a point to where our trust in God will change our location in life. And that's when it gets real. But we have to have confidence to do that. God says, look, I will be with you. I will be there. I will take care of it. I will drive them out in front of you. I will give you the success. I will give you the support. Will you have confidence? And will you do mighty things for me? The question is, will we be the same people we were when we got here? Or will we be confident in order to take a hold of the promise that God has made for each one of us and affect the lives of people for the betterment and the advance of the kingdom? Will we do that? For some of us here this morning, it's going to take, you know, just putting it all down and saying, God, I've got to trust you. I've got to have confidence in you to first and foremost to save my soul and transform me into a spiritual person, a new creation. I've got to confess Christ and be baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection. God, I need to have confidence in you that the promise you made is for me, and I accept that. And then you can go out and be a part of his kingdom. For others that have already made that commitment, maybe it's saying, I just need to stop trying to figure it all out myself, and I need to have confidence in the Lord. I need to have confidence to be used by God this week. Whatever your need is, whatever your desire of God is, would you let us know as together we stand and as we sing?